fail. You know they carry my matter they play. See yesterday, you call me your own. When release methodology, you know they delay. From generation to generation, from Nigeria to Jamaica, you know they carry last. You know they carry last, cause you be Ote, 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 see God, Ote, 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 see God, Ote, Ote, Ote. See, oh man, are you the rain?
My message this morning is captioned "The Last Blessing of Jesus." The last blessing of Jesus. He still blesses us, but the last blessing that he released on his disciples, do you know what it was? The fact is that you do know what you did not know, what you knew. And my assignment this morning is to bring you into the awareness of what this blessing is, because it is the conduit to every other blessing. And unfortunately, many as believers have not clued in to the importance of this one blessing, the last blessing. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. He said, "But ye shall receive power after." Somebody say after. Say it again, after. After. What is after? Yes, after is after, not before. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You're going to receive what?
Power.
You're going to receive what?
Power.
You're going to receive what?
Power.
You're going to receive power after. So if you receive power before the Holy Ghost, it's not God's power. Amen? You cannot have the power of God on your life without the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost precedes always the power of God. In fact, God will do nothing. Hear this. God will do nothing without the Holy Ghost being present first. The Holy Ghost was present first before God spoke and said, "Let there be light." Is that not true? Before Jesus was born, the Bible says, "The Holy Spirit will be upon you." Then that which is going to be found in you, which is the Word of God, Jesus Christ, came after the presence of the Holy Spirit. There is no true inspiration in life without the presence of the Spirit of God first. And you can see it in the word, in spirit action. Are you with me? So if the Holy Ghost is not there, pack up. Because nothing is going to happen that is of God. And where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Sign that the presence of the Spirit is there is freedom. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Embedded in that Spirit of God is that Word of God and life. Spirit and life. Amen? You're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And when the Holy Ghost is upon you, you are going to be witnesses unto me. Notice the statement, you shall be witnesses unto who? Unto me. Unto God. You are witnesses to him. What is the witness to him about? The witness to him is about the movings and the workings of the Spirit of God, so that you can come and witness to him. God, I saw something today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Church, we are in the house of God to experience God so we can tell of the goodness of the Lord. And when we are out in the world, we are there to see and be witnesses. So in essence, your eyes are peeled to see what God is doing. Amen. What is God doing in my world? So I can have a report to send back home. Every day, I need to give a report. Praise the Lord. The report is to say, this is what the Holy Spirit did today. Father, I was, give you an example. I'm not one who gives money to people that are begging. Especially when I suspect that they might use it to go buy something that they should not be buying. So I'm not going to support bad habit. Amen? But I care about the person. So I will buy food. I will do that, but I will not give cash. All right, so I was at 7-Eleven doing something I should not be doing, which was get some sloppy. Well, the temptation was too strong for me. So anyhow, that's off my first enough for today. So I go in, but before I went in, I saw this young man. He was sitting outside. He wasn't asking for anything. He was just sitting on the floor. It's not a good sight. His clothes were really dirty. And I went in, got my sloppy, came out, got into the car. Oh, sloppy is like cold, icy drink. Slush. Sugar drink. Okay. Okay. I walked into that one, didn't I? All right. So I got my sugar drink. Got into the car, and the Holy Spirit said, go talk to that young man. Give him something. I said, but you know I won't give him money. So I'm not asking you to give him money. Just go talk to him. So I went to the young man, and as I was approaching him, the Lord gave me a prophetic word for him. So I spoke the prophetic word to him, because no condition is permanent. Amen? I don't know all the reasons why he's in that state, but God can turn any situation around. So when I walked close and I started talking to him, I'm looking at him. This is a young, very handsome young man. He could go for a model, but he was down and out. And I'm speaking to him about his life. And then I asked him, I said, would you like to eat something? Do you want me to buy you something to eat? And he said, no, but I would like a sloppy. See, that's why I went for the sloppy. There was a reason. So I said, you like it swamp? He said, yes. For you, those of you who don't know what swamp is, that's a mixture of all, you know, the coke and the whatever. You mix everything together. So you get to taste everything together. He said, yeah, swamp. I said, that's the way I like it. He said, me too. So I went and I got him a nice swamp sloppy, came back, handed it over to him, and left. I wanted to go share the gospel with him and lead him to the Lord, but something was saying to me, not yet time, not yet time. So I prayed, Lord, help me or somebody else meet him and lead him to the Lord. But the one thing I needed to do that very moment was just obey the instruction of the Lord, what he wanted to do me that very moment. Amen? You shall. So that became my report back home to Papa. This is what the Holy Spirit did today. Help me give sloppy to somebody. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and all to the utmost part of the earth. And you say, Pastor, but you said the message was about the last blessing. He says, and when he had spoken these things, watch this, and when he had spoken these things, and when he had spoken these things, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, while they're looking at him, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while he was speaking to them, the cloud came and took him up. Now, come with me to the Gospel of Luke. I will have to talk to him after the message. Come with me to Luke 24 and verse 49. Luke 24 and verse 49 to 51. It says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And the Holy Ghost came upon them. Yeah? He says, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he was doing what? Blessing them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So what is the statement? The statement was a blessing to go, empowered to preach the gospel. Do you see it? Because remember, we are told from the previous passage that he was caught up into the cloud in Acts 1, 9. Now we read right here in verse 51, and it came to pass while he blessed them. And that's what he was doing in Acts 1 and verse 9. While he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. How? By that cloud that came and bore him up. The blessing. We're talking about the blessing. There's all kinds of blessings. But the last blessing that was pronounced over the apostles was the blessing that commissioned them to go preach the gospel. Did you get it? So if you are not operating in that grace of going out to preach the gospel, you are not walking under the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord is your obedience to preaching the gospel. And he said this was going to happen based on the promise of the Father upon them. It was going to happen, and it happened on the day of Pentecost. And guess what happened on the day of Pentecost? We just read it. The gospel was touching the nations right away. Because the Holy Ghost is not for you to have goosebumps. Oh, I feel the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, my hair is standing out like donkeys. Oh, that's not the purpose of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there's got to be an equivalent result in somebody's life being changed. Oh, the power of God moved so mightily. We fell under the power of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But somebody gets saved because of it. Is somebody going to get saved because of it? Is a life going to be transformed because of it? This is the mandate that God has called us to. In Matthew chapter 28, talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Matthew 28, connected to this blessing, Matthew 28 and verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all what? Power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All authority, the word is the word exousia. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So I have authority in the heavens and I have authority in the earth. And because I have all this authority, go. Hallelujah. Because I have the authority, go. Ye therefore, and teach all nations, people from every nation. God has a national perspective. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach all nations. Teach them what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. What is the command that he commanded us? Love. What is the command? Love. Now, let me ask this question. If somebody knows that the way and the path to salvation is Jesus, they know it. They know that you're not saved. I'm talking about you now. I'm not talking about somebody else. You. They know you're not saved, and the way to Jesus or salvation and to be part of the kingdom of God is Jesus. And they refuse to tell you about Jesus and how to have eternal life. Do they love you? I want an answer. Do I love you if I know that I have the answer to your life but refuse to give it to you? You? Do I love you? Do I love you? Anybody here says, yes, you really love me. You know, you know the answer. You have the solution. You can solve my problem, but refuse to give me the answer. That is the definition of love. Anybody? Nobody? Okay. He says, I want you to go out there and tell people to observe the commandment I gave to you, which is the commandment of love. Tell people to love. How often do we do that? And he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then he says, amen. Jesus himself said, amen. Jesus made a statement and says amen to it. Yeah. Do you know how many times he did that? I challenge you to go find all the amens that Jesus said. There's one right there. And had to do with the preaching of the gospel. And the fact that he says, listen, I'm going to be with you all the way. All the way. While you are going about doing what I have called you to do, I'm going to be there with you. God, I want you to be with me. He already told you how he's going to be with you. Tell somebody about Jesus. He didn't say, I'm going to be with you, you know, through the trouble, when you start talking to me about your troubles. It's not that he will not be. It's that we are guaranteed that he's going to be with us when we take the word of God to the people by loving people, caring, truly caring about what matters. And that's the salvation of souls. That's why we invest on souls. Now, just a side statement about this particular day. Mama read us from Acts 1 and Acts 2, so we know. We know the story. We know the experience. Pentecost. Is a Greek word. In the Hebrew, it's Savot. And it has to do with 50. The word Pente is 50. And this particular feast, and it is a feast of the Lord, is a feast that started in the Old Testament. God called the Israelites to celebrate this one. In Exodus chapter 23 and verse 16, and it's a feast that has four different names. It is called, and the feast of what? Harvest. What is it that God wants us to harvest for him? Souls. Are you with me? So it's the feast of harvest. It is the first fruits of thy labor, or your partnership with God, which thou hast sown in the field. You have sown in the field. You've sown seeds in the field. Now you're having a harvest. This harvest, he calls also the feast of what? Ingathering. Now, these are words that have to do with famine. But in the mind of God, it's not just about famine out there, wheat or whatever else. It's about souls. Amen? He calls it the Feast of Ingathering. Ingathering what? Ingathering all my sons and my daughters. Bring them. Go out there and bring them. Go to the byways, the highways, all the places that you can go and bring them in. And then it makes this statement, which is in the end of the year. When thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. He says, three times in a year all the males shall appear before the Lord God. I want you to notice the statement, all thy males. Amen? He didn't say females, he says all thy males. Now, why is God specifying males? Because God wants to bless the seed. He wants to bless the seed. Your harvest is highly determined not just by the soil that you sow into, but primarily, first and foremost, by the seed that is sown. And God says, I want all my males to come because I want to bless them. And by blessing them, I'm going to bless their seed. Hallelujah. Three times in a year, they've got to appear before the Lord. And then he says, thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. He says, during this time, bring the first fruits. Bring the first fruits. Why? Because when the first fruit is blessed, everything else is blessed. Hallelujah. If you bring the first fruit and I bless the first fruit, everything else gets blessed. It sounds like when you bring the tithe, God blesses everything else. Amen? So he says, bring that first fruit. Thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk. Now, let's leave that alone, or else I'm going to go too far deep. I want to stick with just the narrow window that I'm supposed to work with this morning. Now, in Exodus 34 and verse 22, we read these words, Exodus 34, 22. The other name of this particular feast called Pentecost, it says, and thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Weeks, 7 times 7, 49, and the 50th day is Pentecost. So God calls it the Feast of Weeks. Of the first fruits, notice the statement again, of wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. At the year's end. Now, that's a striking statement, at the year's end. What is God trying to get at the year's end? We know Rosh Hashanah is the new year. That's in September. The Feast of Pentecost happens right about this time in May. So why is God talking about the end of the year? Are you ready? When God is talking about the end of the year, it means he's also talking about a new beginning. The end of the year here is about the end, for us here especially, is the end of our winter days into a time of spring. Praise the Lord. But it is also the time of harvest. So what is God saying? God is saying to us all around the world, he's saying, I'm going to give you a full circle where bad ends and good begins. But I want you to start ending your ending with a great harvest, recognizing that a greater harvest is coming. Oh, somebody listening. I have a greater harvest on my mind every time. So Pentecost is that time of change. Glory be to God. God ends something to start something. Praise God. Are we on the same page? Now, another tidbit for you this morning before we go further. Remember that we're talking about the ingathering, we're talking about the blessings of the Lord. It says, again, thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. Here in Exodus 34, he adds something else. He doesn't just say male. He says, men, children. How do you have men, children? You're either a man or you're a child. But what is he talking about? He's talking about the fact that in the sight of God, God is blessing the man, and God is also blessing the children that are going to become men so that the children begin to do greater things. Praise the Lord. And he says, don't come empty-handed. The other day, yesterday, the Lord said to speak to me about something. He said, something that I know already, but he wanted to remind me about it. He said, when I ask you to give, I want you to remember these things. I ask you to give so I can bless your seed sown. But your giving is not just for you. You are giving for your children and your children's children, so that my blessing can continue into their lives. Give them a running start. He said, Abraham did that for Levi. Levi was a seed in him that was going to pass on to another generation, to another generation. But when Abraham was given tithe, he was given tithe for his great-grandchild. Your giving is not only about you. It's about your generations to come. And one of the special times that God has set apart for that kind of generational blessing is at Pentecost. What happens at Pentecost will release the blessings of God into your life and into your lives, the lives of your children and your children's children. It is not how much you save. You can save all you want and plan all you want for your children and your children's children, and it will end up being a dud. But God is saying, I have a safe, proof way. Bring your first fruit for souls and see me bless you and bless your generations. That's why at Pentecost, he doesn't just give it one name. This is the one feast that has many names. Prior to, remember, we said the church was born on Pentecost. But so also in the Old Testament, the Israelites became that special family of God when they received the commandments of God. Remember that? Moses goes up the mountain, and when he went up the mountain, he gets the Ten Commandments. And he comes down, he's coming down the mountain, and what is happening down below? Aaron is busy putting a calf together, and I don't know whether he lied or whether it was the truth. He gets all of this stuff together and he says he threw it into the fire and there comes out this calf. And the reason they did that was because they thought that man was their leader rather than God. Yeah? They thought, Moses is not here and he is the one who brought us out and Moses is not here. Oh, let's go back to what we are used to. And what they were used to was slavery. So they wanted to go back to being enslaved. And Moses is coming down and he sees what is happening and he throws down the tablets, broke the Ten Commandments. And the Bible says, watch this. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 28 is the one I want, but I'm going to take it off from verse 21 to give you context. Exodus 32, 21. Oh, wow, where did the time go? 32 verse 21. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods. We shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold. Now, remember this. This gold was meant to build the tabernacle. This was stuff meant for the house of God, that God made tabernacle with his people. He says, and I said unto them, whosoever had any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Now, that's why I say, either he's lying, or this is an amazing miracle. He threw the gold into the fire and a calf came out of it. And when Moses saw that the people were naked. Are you hearing this? And when Moses saw that, the people were naked. So they stripped themselves. They were naked. What does that present? What happened in the garden? What belonged to God? The tithes that belonged to God. The first fruit that belonged to God. The tree that belonged to God. Man went and took out of it and became naked. Exposed. And so many times we get exposed because we are taking that which belongs to God and giving it to other gods. But that which belongs to God, He wants for souls. Amen? Hallelujah. He says, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. They were now exposed to their enemies. Is somebody on the same page with me? 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? And that's the question. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Levi? That's the one Abraham gave tithe. Are you with me? Do you see the connection? Levi comes to his side, and the Bible says in 27, and he said unto them, thus said the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about what? 3,000 men. That's when Israel received the word or the commandment of God in the Old Testament. Are you with me? Now let's come to the New Testament. When the church is born, praise the Lord. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. The apostles are up in the upper room, cloven tongues, like fire, resting upon their heads. Cloven tongues? That's division. Why the division? Because God was trying to deal with something that started even before all of this started. When man was trying to build a tower up to God, whether to talk to God, be equal with God, whatever their agenda was, and they were so united, just like they are going to be united on the day of Pentecost. Are you with me? They were all in one place, in one accord. In the Old Testament, God decides, he says, these people will be able to do whatever it is they want to do. I better scatter them now. So he brought tongues to them. And they all started speaking, but they could not understand each other. The cloven tongues became division. Are we on the same page? Now in the New Testament, he comes with cloven tongues that were just like fire. And when they were speaking, do you know fire has different colors, right? You have blue, you have red, you have yellow, yeah? You have white, you have orange. All of that in one flame. Colors. Those are colors that are similar to the rainbow colors that surround the presence of God. Amen? So God even talks about himself as a consuming fire. Are we together? So here, these cloven tongues come and they are speaking. They only know one language, their language. But now they are speaking and something miraculous happens. They're speaking in tongues, but every other nation that was present heard them in their own particular language. Come, 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 come. Are you with me? You sure? Do you think that all the Greeks joined together in one spot and the disciples went and found, where are the Greek people? Huh? You think that's what happened? There's a great multitude. No, they were speaking whatever it is that they were saying, and the people, unlike what happened at Babel, because the word tongues is the word glossolalia, glossolalia, and it means gibberish, nonsense talk. But the people that were hearing it heard the gibberish in their language. They understood it because God was translating the message right away into their hearing. Praise the Lord. I remember we were having a wedding here many years ago, and there was this lady, elderly lady from what country she was? From Syria. Okay. And I'm ministering in English over here. And what was she hearing, this elder lady who doesn't speak English? She was hearing everything in the Syrian language. So the kids came around and said, "Did you understand what she was talking about?" I said, "I heard everything. I understood everything." "How did you understand it?" She was understanding it in her language. That is the awesomeness of God's power. Taking what you know and making it mean what it needs to mean in the hearing of the hearer. Praise the Lord. Now, what happened on the day of Pentecost? They are preaching, and the word of God says in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received the word," they that what? Gladly. The adjective, the defining factor here is the gladly. They gladly received the word. So if you were there and you were not gladly receiving it, you didn't get it. But those that were gladly receiving the word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about what? 3,000 souls. In the Old Testament, 3,000 souls died when the law was being given. And now here, 3,000 souls are added. And what happens the next few days after? 5,000. Because remember, God multiplies the seed sown, and God wants the next generation to be greater, and God wants one age to end so that he can start anew. Hallelujah. And 5,000 until there were multitudes, until there were billions. And today, we are part of that. Amen? Hallelujah. Is Adnan there? Or did he go AWOL again? Okay. Adnan. I don't see the picture. Can we connect with Adnan? He might not be in a position to. Oh, we just lost him. It's not working out. I'll give him a moment. Let me know when he's back on. Now, I wanted to interview Adnan. Say, dear son, because remember when I went to Pakistan, I went to do the crusade. But on landing, my first act of ministry was ordaining bishops and pastors. Adnan's brother is one of our sons. He had been attacked because serving the Lord in this part of the country or the world is not that easy, to say the least. It's very dangerous. You have to be careful what you say and how you say it. And the brother had been waylaid. He'd gone and ministered somewhere and he's driving off and he gets caught off and they proceed to stab him several times. But God saved his life. Hallelujah. The Lord was with him. Thank God. And so when I arrived, Adnan, who also is a pastor and has gone through the same kind of things, his church was shut up. He is hosting me. I find out the brother is not in the country. He's gone to be treated. And I was talking with him, and he finally tells me the whole story. So anyway, I get there and I'm ministering to the people. And I've not told you this part. You'll be hearing this part for the first time. I did not even dare to tell Mama, so I'll tell her to be safe so that because she warned me. She says, you do this and you do that. And so I am ministering, and I'm ministering from a passage of scripture where Jesus calls his disciples up. And the Bible says he called them after he sat down, and then he ordained. So I finished ministering, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling dehydrated. Really dehydrated. And feeling very weak. I've just started. I've not even done the meetings I'm supposed to go. And I'm sitting down there ministering, and I'm going to ordain this man. But I had to sit down. I said, Lord, why is this happening? And the Lord says, I went up, I sat down. That's how I want it. I know you. You will not sit down if I don't make you sit down. So while I ministered to them, each group, I'll sit down, then I'll get strength and I'll talk for a while and hand certificates to the people. And when is the next group coming? Back on the chair. I'll show you. Maybe is Adnan on? Still not on. Got off. Anyway, I wanted to interview him because there are testimonies of miracles that happened. Healings and deliverances and stuff in the midst of all of that. He was with me when a Muslim lady that was doing security, I was coming down from my hotel room, and Adna was taking me to get something done. And this woman comes, I think I might have told you this story, comes with a bottle of water and says, "I want you to pray for me." I'm thinking, how does she know that I'm a minister? She says, "I want you to pray for me." And she hands me this bottle of water. Do you have some pictures? If you have some pictures, you can show them so that, oh, there it is. Me and my fat belly right there with the water. You know, I'm just about to head out. And there's the lady. I prayed for her just quickly. I said, "Who told you to bring water? How do you know to bring water?" So I just felt like bringing water to you. So I blessed the water and prayed for her. We left, came back about an hour or two later, and she's so excited. She had been healed from an issue that had plagued her for decades. Healed just like that. The power of God was present. Amen? Tumors, gone. During these meetings, while I'm ordaining these bishops, give us a picture of the bishops, and these are some people in the ministry. These are bishops, some of the bishops that were ordained that particular day, and the move of God. God is using you and I to touch the world. There's a harvest out there. But that harvest must also be here. Amen? God is healing there. God will heal here too. That's why tonight, we're going to have a healing service tonight. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm trusting God to touch lives here. If I have to lay hands, then so be it. But I want you to come rise to that place where you just receive the word and receive it. Just receive your miracle. Whatever it is that you believe in God for, receive it. Take it. Gladly take it. Amen? Praise God. My message this morning is captioned "The
God is so good." You heard what he said about he's going to lay hands on people if he has to, but he's not here to do that. But he did call you to come up if you need anything. If you need anything, come and get it, because the altar is also a very special place to receive any kind of miracle. And if right now you need any kind of miracle, just come and get it, because that's the last piece that he told us. If you need something from God, just come and get it. The word of God is what heals you, because it's The word is Jesus. And Jesus wants you well. Jesus wants you, if you have sickness in your body or anything, any pains, Jesus can take care of that. And I believe right now the anointing of what from his ministering to you, let it touch you. Let it touch you. In the name of Jesus. If you have any issues, whether it's family issues, whether it's finances, just reach out to God and ask him for what you need. Father God, I just believe right now that you are here, that your anointing, which will never leave us, is here now, and we reach out to you for any of the needs that we have. I command every sickness to go away. I command all poverty to leave. I command wisdom as well to come. The truth of the Lord is in us as well, and we receive it all. There's no lies from the devil that can live in us. The truth, which is Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is what we receive, and nothing but the truth. Father God, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you have sent us throughout the world to preach the gospel. But we need to do it from love, which is from you. Father God, just give us the empowerment, because your Holy Spirit is here to go out and preach the gospel, so that the world may know that you are their Savior, and there is no other Savior but you. Thank you, Father God, that your love is so powerful. It is here to change lives. It is here to even improve our lives. Each and every step is ordered of you, Father God, when we walk in you. Your word, which we receive tonight, we can continue to walk in it each and every moment of every day. It is the empowerment. It changes people. It changes lives because of the love that you have for your creation. Each and every one of us are part of your creation. And your creation is continuing to change every moment. And that's why we continue to change. Your love is in us. And where you have empowered us to go out, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We thank you, Father God, that we can walk in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And when we speak to anybody, Father God, your words will come through, will come out, and there will be virtue, and they will receive it. We thank you, Father God, for the miracles that when we pray for people, they will receive healings and miracles, answers to the questions that they have, that they will receive especially the love that you have for them. We thank you, Father God, for who you are. You're dying on the cross and resurrecting from the dead as well. Because without that, you would have been dead like any other man. But you were the only one who resurrected and stayed alive. And you empowered us through the day of Pentecost. 3,000 were added in one day, and then later on 5,000 and more. And it continues on. This world is full of your people, Father God. And I just pray that those who don't know you will get to know you. That they can walk in the power of God as well to defeat Satan and his cohorts. There's no room for Satan and his cohorts in our lives. We thank you, Father God, for who you are, who you showed us who you are. Thank you, Father God. I want to send a blessing to everybody who's listening. Receive from God at any time. Because God is present at all times. You need something at that moment, you just ask him for that. Whatever your need is, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for touching each and every one of us. Tonight, if you have anything to give as an offering, it's a day of Pentecost. It's a good time to give because it's a time of first fruit as well. So if you have anything to give, just bring it now. Release it to the Lord. And remember, ask God to speak to your offering. Thank you, Father. Speak to my offering. Well, I want to greet everybody that's online as well. There's Carol Cornelson.